You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Treasure Island is the story that gave us Long John Silver, the maps with X marks the spot, and that song, Yo-Ho-Ho and a Bottle of Rum. The story was first published as a serialized story in 1881 to 1882, and then on May 23rd, 1883, it was released as a book. So remember that date, by the way. What happened before author Robert Louis Stevenson wrote Treasure Island, though? Think along the lines of Wicked telling the story that came before The Wizard of Oz. But in this case, we have a little bit of fact with the fiction. And in the studio, author Mark Wiederander is here to talk about his historical novel, Stevenson's Treasure. And I guess we could call it a prequel to Treasure Island, right, Mark?
Yes, I think that's an accurate way to put it, because Robert Louis Stevenson, he was always called Louis, by the way, as he preferred, but Louis had his own treasure hunt, I guess you could call it, about a year or two before he wrote that.
Most of the book is the love story between Louis and the married American woman, Fanny Osborne. The affair is true.
Right.
Louis was a mess of a person, though, I have to say.
Every parent's nightmare.
He was. And so how much of that is true and documented somewhere, and how much of the mess did you have to make up?
Right. Well, that's an interesting story because I would say about 80 to 90% of it is documented. He was a great letter writer, as a lot of Victorians were. He left about 8 volumes of collected letters between his family and him. There were memoirs, and, you know, so we're able to plot out his movements pretty well when he followed his heart to America for that year. But the interesting thing to me were the gaps. The parts that I don't know were the specific steps of the love affair in California, because mysteriously, or maybe not so, those letters between Louis and Fanny were all destroyed. None of them survived because it was scandalous at the time. So that's the part that, as a fiction author, you can try to fill in those gaps. And
do
I had fun doing that.
Suspect it was the family that destroyed them?
Yeah. I guess the biggest theories have to do with Fanny herself, or Fanny's daughter. She outlived him by quite a few years. And possibly his earliest biographer, which was a cousin of his. It was just squelched, and some of those letters that are preserved at Yale have big black marks that line through some of the scandalous words and things like that.
Well, the storylines, even though it was the 1880s, are much like a scandal or an affair might read today. Mm-hmm. And here was Louis, 29 years old, mm-hmm. and he was in love with an older woman, number one.
Right.
That was shocking.
Right.
She's an American, which by its own nature could polarize people. She was married, and he was very ill and willing to chase her across the ocean.
Right.
And nobody could stop talking about this, right?
Yeah, right. Certainly today they couldn't. At the time, you have to remember he was completely, well, I should say not completely, but almost completely unknown. Mm. So Treasure Island, which was his first hit, still lay before him. So he didn't get in the tabloids or the equivalents then. And he was just a young, very committed, very creative guy who, you know, fell deeply in love and did hang around with the Bohemian set. So he met Fanny in an artist colony in France, and then she returned to her husband because divorce and things like that were really not frowned upon at that time.
He initially proposed to her, and she turned him down,
right.
And then he followed her to California. And then later she accepted the proposal. Is that some of the gap, why
that's,
she had a change?
Right. That is the gap, or at least it's one of the most interesting ones. We don't know exactly what transpired between Fanny, her husband, who was, by the way, a philanderer. So, you know, I set up some reasons why Fanny was not happily married. And Louis, and why she put him off, then why she changed her mind, and why he just kept pursuing and pursuing. I guess we know that because he was the eternal optimist.
I enjoyed reading the back and forth, even if it was fictionalized, about why she would have made, I think, plausible decisions along the way, but they were both taking risks, and
huge
the town
risks.
Was talking. I also learned about the name Calistoga. I didn't know why Calistoga was called Calistoga, and I thought, am I the only one that doesn't know this?
Yeah, right.
Sam Brannan.
Yeah, he put together the words California with Saratoga, you know, the resort of the well-to-do in, I believe, is New York, and came up with Calistoga and just invented it as a tourist town.
And that was one of the places that they traveled to because Lewis was forever looking for a place, or Fanny was on his behalf, where his lungs could dry out.
Right, right. He had to be high and dry. And there were some other theories that probably weren't so correct, but that was always a quest. And,
you are listening to Sacramento author Mark Wiederanders. His historical novel, Stevenson's Treasure, is the story about Robert Louis Stevenson leading up to the writing of Treasure Island. I asked if you would read a little section from the book. And I'm not sure at what point in the story. I think this is fairly early on. And most people know he's a Scottish author, so he left behind very well-to-do parents in Scotland.
Right. He left everything that was comfortable and risked life itself for this woman he had fallen in love with. And at this point, he is living unhappily with his parents in Edinburgh, and he is pondering whether to go to California and make this risky trip. They know nothing about her. He's speaking with his father, Thomas Stevenson. "I'm worried," his father said. "You've been so quiet, brooding." "Well..." "Louis, I'm your father. If there's something wrong, I'd like to know." "All right, then. I have fallen in love." "Wonderful news, and high time you did, at least with someone worth telling your father about." Thomas Stevenson poked him playfully in the ribs. "Do I know the young lady?" Louis shook his head. "When will you bring her by? What's her name?" "Mrs. Osborne." His father cocked his head as if he had not heard. "Is this one of your jokes?" "No joke. I won't be bringing her by any time soon because she lives in California with her husband and children." A maid bustled in with a pot of tea and filled two cups while Thomas Stevenson looked like a pressure cooker about to explode. As soon as she left them, his father whirled on him. "I hope you've a good explanation for this." "A simple one. I met a wonderful woman at Grez. She is gracious, artistic, and beautiful. She laughs with me. I love her, and I believe she loves me. She is already married, unhappily." Thomas seemed to be trying to control himself, sucking several deep breaths before asking, "Is it affection you have for this woman, or lust?" "Quite a bit of both, sir."
I really enjoy historical novels, and I thought that your writing style captured exactly what would have been happening at the time. It's fun because it's familiar to us here in Northern California. But the timing is interesting. May 23rd, which is later this week, and in fact, you have a reading that night. But another historical novel about this same relationship was written this year by Nancy Horan.
Right.
Why both now?
Yeah, I don't know if it's something in the water supply or what. I had no idea until a few months ago that Nancy, you know, well-known author, had been covering the same traces pretty much and wrote this book. And so hers came out about a month before mine.
And in both books, it took an intense amount of research.
Oh, yeah.
To track down not only the news at the time, the stories, what was available. So, and your paths never crossed, right?
No, no, not at all. Yeah, it's great. Her book does. She went comprehensive and covers 20 years of their relationship. But in one novel, of course, then any one detail wouldn't be too completely fleshed out. And I focused mine in a much smaller frame that year in California. So,
okay, so just one last little nugget, and that is that ultimately this story happens because Robert Louis Stevenson has to deal with his stepson.
Right, right. And the great hit, without giving away too much, the blended family is cooped up in the highlands of Scotland in a beautiful little cottage, but very small. And he doesn't know how to complete this love knot with his nun, a new family, and his stepson. So he concocts a story and tells it in a continued fashion about pirates and treasure and all kinds of wild stuff, and tells that over tea every day at the cottage while the storm howls outside, and that became his first endearing classic, Treasure Island.
Well, and even knowing that, there's so much more to the story, and your background as a psychologist is revealed in that writing. So thank you so much. I'll mention that on that anniversary, May 23rd, you have a reading and a book signing at Face in a Book bookstore in El Dorado Hills, and then another one at the Avid Reader Sacramento on June 7th.
Right. Yes, thank you very much. And I'll update appearances and things like that on my website, too, markwiederanders.com. Pretty simple.
Okay, we'll provide a link. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Great story. I hope you keep going on the trail.
Great bit.
Thanks, Mark. Uh-huh. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Insight senior producer is Jen Picard. Our producer is James Morrison. We had help today from Cody Drabble and Annie Chernich. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. As always, there's you, so thank you for joining us.